cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know, streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, one of the things that's happening now around the country, kind of quietly, but you may notice, is that people are putting the stamps on their letters upside down as a sign of America being in distress. And so, and why is that about? Well, what has happened again, we have the domestic enemies of America, the domestic enemies of God, the Constitution, America, and they're going after the legitimate, the rightful, legitimate president of the United States of America, Donald Trump. They're the enemies of America, those, the domestic Communist Party. Now, you have someone called Big Fanny out there in Atlanta, or in Georgia there. Big Fanny is filing fictitious, but politically, this is, you know, one is sworn, if you are in office and you are a bought and paid for, and that's exactly what she is, she's bought and paid for by George Soros, and you say, I'm going to go after this politician, and you trumpet it like they did in New York, like they did, then that means that it's you're not in compliance with your job, but you're going, you've sold yourself out to, so you're not a legitimate anymore DA. And she's not a legitimate DA. This is going to come back and bite her. It's going to come back and bite Big Fanny, okay? And so anyhow, now Mark Levin, he has a good talent for picking out and pulling out certain facts. And so we're going to hear from the great one, Mark Levin. So go ahead and take her away.
I'm Mark Levin, and this is Life, Liberty, and Levin. We have two great guests tonight, Senator Tom Cotton and Victor Davis Hanson. But before I go to our great guests, we really need to take a step back and see what's happening to our country. I couldn't be happier that you're here this evening. There was a great philosopher, he didn't live that long, but a great philosopher in the 1800s. His name was Frederick Bastiat. He wrote a little book called The Law. Ronald Reagan had that book, among many other books, on his bookshelves at his home. Because what the man said was incredibly profound. And I want to quote him very, very briefly to lay the foundation for what I want to get to with you this evening. He said, the law perverted, and the police powers of the state perverted along with it. The law, I say, not only turned from its proper purpose, but made to follow an entirely contrary purpose. The law become the weapon of every kind of greed. Instead of checking crime, the law itself is guilty of the evils it is supposed to punish. He said, unfortunately, law by no means confines itself to its proper functions. And when it has exceeded its proper functions, it is not done so merely in some inconsequential and debatable matters. The law has gone further than this. It has acted in direct opposition to its own purpose. The law has been used to destroy its own objective. It has been applied to annihilating the justice that it was supposed to maintain, to limiting and destroying rights which its real purpose was to respect. The law has placed the collective force at the disposal of the unscrupulous who wish without risk to exploit the person, liberty, and property of others. It has converted plunder into a right in order to protect plunder, and it has converted lawful defense into a crime in order to punish lawful defense. That was written almost 200 years ago, and that is exactly what's happening to our country today with the Democrat Party and this Marxist movement. Let's just take a big picture look here. Let's look at the federal level, the judges, the Department of Justice, as applies to former president and candidate Donald Trump. In Washington, they used a D.C. grand jury to bring Florida charges. venue shopping in violation of Department of Justice rules for prosecutors and grand juries. Grand jury abuses by the so-called special counsel, including the denial of attorney-client privilege and due process to the former president. That is, using attorney-client privilege information, discussions with your lawyer and lawyer's notes with a grand jury, in which you don't have a lawyer there, in which you can't provide exculpatory information, in which you cannot challenge anything. We have a prosecutor working for Jack Smith who's accused of extorting a lawyer. Seems pretty serious to me. That is, he said he would help him get a judgeship in exchange for telling his client to turn state witness against former President Trump. Where is that now? It's being investigated in secret by the chief judge of that district, who's another Obama appointee. We've heard nothing. Former president, as I said, stripped of attorney-client privilege. And that was done in secret by another Obama judge. We have no idea why that occurred, and her order remains secret. We're talking about a former president, the leading Republican nominee for president, and all these secret trial activities going on. Former president was stripped of his executive privilege authority to protect his conversations with his former vice president and his staff while he was president of the United States. That's never been done before. No attorney-client privilege, no executive privilege. Criminalized a document dispute using a search warrant, a SWAT team from the FBI, and seized records. Never done before in American history. An abuse of law, most aggressive use of the law to do something which is really outrageous. A secret search warrant we just heard from another Obama judge allowing the government to seize all communications the former president had on Twitter, including private communications. Again, trial by secrecy in a Democrat courtroom with a Democrat judge, a Democrat prosecutor, a Democrat grand jury, Democrat future jury. Now, why was that done in secret? The bogus argument, well, if he finds out that we're looking at his Twitter account, he may flee the country. Yeah, he'll leave his family, he'll leave Mar-a-Lago, he'll leave it all. He'll just flee the country. Now, how ridiculous is that? Now, what have they done? They use an 1871 Ku Klux Klan statute, a 2002 Enron statute, and financial obstruction statute, none of which have anything at all to do with January 6th. They use the 1917 Espionage Act, which was passed by Woodrow Wilson to imprison his political opponents. Sound familiar? And it was applied against Eugene Debs, who was running for president on the Socialist Party, and he ran while he was in prison. I guess that's what the Biden administration thinks ought to happen now. Piling charges, as we say. That is, making multiple criminal charges from a single event. Just piling them on, piling them on. Now, why do they do that? Because they just want one conviction. And they want a jury to sit there and say, look, we got 40 charges here in the document case. All right, let's find guilty on one or two of them and we'll clear them of the rest. That's what's going on. Every dirty trick imaginable. There's been relentless leaking of investigative, sensitive, and even concealed information to the media, in particular Maggie Haberman at the New York Times, to the Washington Post and to CNN. And I've demonstrated here, I have examples of over 40 leaks from this prosecutor in the Department of Justice in the past 6 months in violation of federal law to destroy the objectivity of any jury pool. And as for the New York Times, I want you to remember something. Their reporter in Moscow was a Stalin mouthpiece. During the Holocaust, their bureau chief in Berlin was a Hitler mouthpiece while they covered up the Holocaust. I want to remind you, the New York Times helped install Fidel Castro, who had 28 guerrilla militia behind him. That was it, to overthrow the government in Cuba, which was a corrupt government, but still, it wasn't a communist regime. And now the New York Times is trying to overthrow this government. In Atlanta, outrageous, leaked district attorney's grand jury charges before the grand jury even met to vote on the charges. Indicted 19 individuals, including the former president, for exercising their free speech rights, organizing a challenge to an ongoing political campaign for president, seeking dual electors in an extremely close election, which, by the way, is done often, providing legal advice, lobbying state officials, and then accusing them all, because of all these so-called phony charges, of mob action, that is RICO, a mob law, a grand conspiracy to obstruct and overturn the election. In other words, they were charged for routine political activity. The DA, who represents only Fulton County, Georgia, county prosecutor, nonetheless claims to use evidence involving six other states outside of Georgia, uses allegations made by the Pelosi January 6th committee, which have since destroyed God knows how much material that they collected on that committee in order to prevent the former president from using any exculpatory information that they may have come across to defend himself. This is a federal matter, not a state matter. She's obviously coordinating with the Department of Justice and the special counsel, Jack Smith. We know this. She was directly asked if she was, and she said, I'm not discussing my investigation. That's a yes. And she's not discussing her investigation, which means she's been coordinating with Jack Smith. This is not only interference in a federal election. It's a bald-faced attempt to empower thousands and thousands of local and state prosecutors to decapitate the federal government. If there's a Republican candidate, if there's a Republican president, just to decapitate it. More on that later. Now, New York, what do we have? Let's not forget New York. We have a DA, a Soros DA, a Democrat DA. He breathes life into a case that was rejected ultimately by the prior DA, another Democrat. And what is that about? Non-disclosure agreements. Non-disclosure agreements. It is a completely phony case. There's over 30 charges of federal crimes against the president of the United States. He takes misdemeanors, and they weren't even misdemeanors, but he takes them, turns them into felonies, makes these preposterous allegations. And that's the first set of indictments. Every one of these prosecutors is conflicted. Alvin Bragg, a Soros prosecutor, a radical Democrat in Manhattan, and he ran on charging Donald Trump. Fannie Willis, a radical elected Democrat who's fundraising off the charges against Donald Trump for her next election. Jack Smith, a former top official in the Eric Holder Department of Justice, worked closely with him, with former FBI Director James Comey and his general counsel, Andrew Weissman, who's all over MSNBC spewing his stupidity. And of course, Smith's wife is a Democrat activist, an Obama sycophant, with a long record of prosecutorial abuses of process, that is, Jack Smith, pressuring and threatening witnesses, bankrupting criminal targets, leaking campaigns with friendly reporters like Haberman over there at the New York Times, other news outlets, the Washington Post, CNN, and so forth. Now, let's step back. This DA in Atlanta, as well as Jack Smith, what are they doing? What have they done? Alan Dershowitz wrote an important piece for the Daily Mail. Among other things, he says, during the course of our challenges, this is Bush Gore, he was representing the people of Palm Beach County in that litigation. Many tactics similar to those employed in 2020 were attempted. Lawyers wrote legal memoranda outlining possible courses of conduct, including proposing a slate of alternate electors who would deliver our preferred election results to Congress. This is normal. In 2000, Florida state officials were lobbied to secure recounts in selected counties in which we thought the tally would favor us. We were trying to find at least 600 votes that would change the result. The new indictment features Trump's phone call with Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, which was captured in an audio recording. In the conversation, Trump asks him to find 12,000 votes. In my mind, says Dershowitz, this call is among the most exculpatory pieces of evidence. Trump is entitled as a candidate to ask a Georgia state official to locate votes that he believes were not counted. Trump was told that in some of these Republican counties that the votes aren't in yet, or they can't, you know, actually find the ballots and the votes. And he says, well, can't you find whatever it is, 11 or 12,000 votes? That's it. In 2000, attempts were made to influence various Florida officials to recount the votes. Now, the former president's request that Georgia's Speaker of the House reconsider the count is being considered as soliciting a public official to violate his oath. You understand the extent to which the criminal activity is the criminal activity of the Biden administration, the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, and Jack Smith? They are the criminals. Let's look at what Hillary Clinton did. Oh, I know the media hate to do this because the media are frauds. Unfreedom of the Press, an entire book on what the media have done to this country. This is not a free press. This is a Pravda, Russia-type press. This is a state press. This is a press that everything I'm telling you right now, they will never discuss. They will never have a legal analyst on there discussing it. the people who watch these programs, even though they have very, very small audiences, the big part of their audience, members of Congress, people in the White House, other press and influencers, that's their audience. That's their audience. As for these judges, judges are flesh and blood. They're human beings, too. And some of them are better than others. Some of them are radical activist Democrats. Some of them are brilliant and objective. Unfortunately, Trump is getting most of the former. Entire book on that, too. Men in Black. So what did Hillary Clinton do? She walks the country free. She's gaggling all over the place. She's getting into friendly media. She's laughing about all these indictments. Hillary Clinton should be in prison for her entire life. Over 4,500 criminal statutes in the U.S. Code that exist today. The one mostly used, the ones are conspiracy, false statements, money laundering, obstruction, perjury, mail fraud, wire fraud, bank fraud, tax evasion. Hillary Clinton. To convict Clinton, it must be shown that she acknowledged that classified emails were contained on her private server. And they said the most recent tally by the State Department of their review of 30,000 Clinton emails indicates at least 671 emails sent or received by Clinton contained classified information. This fact stands in stark contrast to the statement she gave to reporters in July of that year when she said, I'm confident that I've never sent nor received any information that was classified at the time it was sent and received. According to the October 16th Fox News report, the FBI is also looking to see if Clinton committed gross negligence under the Espionage Act for failure to keep national defense information safe. 18 U.S.C. 793, they're using that against Trump. Notably, the information doesn't necessarily have to be marked as classified to violate the statute. The article cited an intelligence community source who spoke on the condition of anonymity. The intelligence source said, the subsection requires the lawful possession of national defense information by a security clearance holder who, through gross negligence, such as the use of an unsecure computer network, permits the material to be removed or abstracted from its proper secure location. She even hired an IT person on her own dime who works for the Department of State to handle the server. That's how much she didn't want anyone to know about the server. And by the way, that's a crime, too. You're not allowed to subsidize or receive private monies for doing what is a government job, and that's sort of what he was doing for her at her request, but nobody talks about that. She destroyed over 30,000 emails. They destroyed their cell phones. Nobody was dragged in front of a grand jury. There was no search done of her home for any other servers or information. She did an interview. Her staff was permitted to be there. Her lawyers were permitted to be there. Her lawyers destroyed this information based on header information, not substantive information. And she skates. In the Presidential Records Act that applies to Trump, which gives the president authority over documents like no other official in the government, including a secretary of state or an ex-secretary of state, she didn't have that defense. She didn't have that statute. Trump has that. And yet he's charged with 40 counts. And he's charged with a total of 91 counts from these three prosecutors. Now let's look at the Bidens quickly. You have a U.S. attorney, stupidly appointed by Bill Barr, not a special counsel, who for five and a half years investigating Hunter Biden. During the course of the 5.5 years, he allows the most significant tax violations to run. That is, outrun the statute of limitations. So good is he at this that Merrick Garland then appoints him a special counsel to give him more protection and more authority. Shortly after he's appointed a special counsel, another statute runs last week. Did you hear about that? Involving possible bribery. That one's now off the table. This guy created the sweetheart deal, and he approved it until the judge stopped them, and now Hunter Biden's lawyer is saying, you know, this judge is biased. We need a new judge. That's the guy they pick. The Bidens are involved in bribery, extortion, money laundering, false statements, fraud, FARA violations, and more. No investigation of Joe Biden whatsoever. No grand jury. No U.S. attorney. No special counsel. No public integrity section. Nothing. And the man receives tens of millions of dollars. His family does, just because his family is so important. None of them have a real job. Not one of them. But they receive tens of millions of dollars from the communist Chinese. Over $31 million, according to Peter Schweizer. Nearly $50 million, according to Congresswoman Mace. We don't even know it's so big. And he's the president of the United States, who has bought and paid for it, as is his family. Not one investigation.
All right, there you go. You know, it's an interesting thing. Trump asked, and this is a common practice, he said, find me 12,000 voters. Now, guess what? We just had heard earlier from Miss Engelbreit. What was her first name? Catherine Engelbreit. It just from the voter, her True the Vote. And she's there at the same time. She was there today, okay, with... Now, they said they had found on the voters' rolls 364,000 ineligible voters on the voter roll. 364,000. Now, further research, now, this same guy admitted, Rothenberg admitted, yeah, you're right, okay. Now, they found out that out of that, 47,000 ineligible voters voted. Now, who do you suppose they voted for? You don't think it was Donald Trump, do you? Okay.
Well, I mean, are these the dead people that when they were alive, they voted Republican, but now that they're dead, they're Democrats?
Well, here you go. You have 47,000 of those that did vote. They did vote. This is how corrupt that is.
That is, yeah.
And you know what? Maybe they did. Maybe half, just say half of those did vote for President Trump, okay? That would have been what? I mean, even in Georgia, well, it's not all Georgia. Most of Georgia would vote. It's the cities that vote that always go for Democrats, okay? Let's just say half of that voted for Trump. He just needed 12,000. But here...
So that'd give him 175.
Yeah. So what happened?
175,000.
The corruption's just unbelievable. Now
it's the
reason that they want mail-in votes. The 99% of the reason they want to mail-in ballots is for election fraud. That's 99. The reason they want to have, 90 days of voting. I mean, what they do is early voting. Is strictly election fraud. It's election
fraud. That's correct. That's correct.
So we need to go back to paper ballots, okay? Paper ballots.
Hand counted, right. not machine counted.
The Democrats know they can't win legally. They can't win in an upright. And so what are they doing? All of these illegals they're bringing in here, see, we're not supposed to know what they're doing. Now, a lot of these illegals are going to fool them. Most of them that they promise they're going to go vote. Some of them will go vote 15, 25 times, you know. A lot of them will say, no, we're not even going to bother to go vote, okay?
Yeah.
And so, but the corruption, the Democratic Party is completely and totally corrupt. There's nothing in that has not been totally corrupted. And if it wasn't for our rhinos, it wouldn't even be. The rhinos in the Republican Party are the ones that really stab us in the back, okay?
Yes. Well, sure they were, yeah. I mean, yeah.
You have an article there?
Sure. Dystopian, listen to this. Some U.S. cities consider zero beef, zero dairy, zero cars. The leftists of the World Economic Forum arrogantly stated in 2016 that by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy about it. Now, it seems that a list of American cities are actively pursuing that ideology with their membership in the C40 Cities Climate Leadership Group. And they're calling for a new restriction on all the residents, including zero consumption of beef, of dairy, and of private vehicles, and only 3 new articles of clothing every year. So what happens when you buy a pair of socks? That's 2. Anyway, all these policies, proposals, appear even more unreasonable and illogical when we look at the actual data. Now, according to the International Disaster Database, deaths related to heat, flood, storms, droughts have plummeted as CO2 emissions have risen. Isn't that interesting? Unfortunately, the Climate Coalition's goals are inherently anti-human. People are generally need meat and the protein it provides to flourish. Banning meat and dairy restriction calories, genetically altering the human body, and impoverishing the masses will hurt the planet and people. More than likely, it will do more than hurt people. It'll kill them. Now, the report explained, it's in a report called The Future of Urban Consumption at 1.5 Degrees Centigrade World. And this is funded by the bureaucratic billionaire Michael Bloomberg and actually includes nearly 100 cities worldwide. Now, World Economic Forum linked the bioethicist Matthew Liao even has suggested that humans be, listen to this one, genetically modified to be allergic to meat, and to be smaller to consume fewer resources. And it this goes back to a direct quote, and I'm going to conclude with this from the Duke of Wellington. The report continues, just to belabor, it's obvious that people are of the of these elitists are the worst sort. There's an apocryphal quote attributed to the Duke of Wellington, who supposedly opposed the development of passenger trains. The Duke supposedly claimed that railroads would promote unrest by allowing the lower classes to travel too freely about. That is, as you can see, precisely the mindset we're in here now.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. It's about control, you, control, control.
You know, yes. The other thing that I'd like kind of like to heap in on this is that, and you and I talked about this this morning, that in the past 2 years, the average household has seen via the economy, the cost of living increased by $709 a month. Think about that. That's over $20 a day that your cost of living. And we don't talk about Biden's economy at all anymore, which I think is appalling. And that's a very strong point for that we should harp on now going into the next.
Well, election. Haven't you heard? I mean, all of the corrupt mainstream media is telling you the economy is great.
It's great. I know that. And I'm just saying that, like, we really need to bring that up. But that's why everybody's wondering where the money went. I mean, if you go to the gas pump, gas prices have basically tripled.
Well, you know, that was funny because I was watching Biden when one of the reporters asked him about, did you get money from the Chinese? And Biden spun and he said, "Where's the money?" Like that. And then he realized what he said because they went through, you know, the whole this elaborate plan, okay, of money laundering to launder
sure.
the money. And so, all right, let to Lisa.
Okay, well, the Gateway Pundit reports that the role of the rich and the famous who were in contact with Jeffrey Epstein is growing as new revelations add to the list of people with whom the convicted pedophile had and alleged sex trafficker rubbed elbows. Epstein's infamous Little Black Book of contacts is known to contain many famous names, including prominent politicians, businessmen, and entertainers. Now, New York Magazine has compiled a list of high-profile individuals known to have met with Epstein who do not appear in the Black Book. Its reporting is based on documents obtained by the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. The names include Apollo Global Management co-founder Leon Black, Bard College president Leon Botstein, Google co-founder Sergey Brin, CIA director William Burns, Professor Noam Chomsky, whose meetings with Epstein included a dinner with director Woody Allen and his wife Soon-Yi Previn, former U.S. Virgin Islands First Lady Cecil DeJong, who was accused of helping Epstein get visas for his alleged victims, Bill Gates, which we all know, FedEx board member Joshua Cooper Ramo, former diplomat Ter Gerard Larson, Edmund de Rothschild Group chairwoman Ariane de Rothschild, Goldman Sachs general counsel Catherine Ruemmler, J.P. Morgan executive Jess Staley, former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers, PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel. New York's list also includes Prince Andrew and former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, whose names do in fact appear in Epstein's Black Book. The Wall Street Journal reported in April that Epstein's calendar was packed.
Wow.
Figures.
Yeah, well, there's some of those names like Woody Allen. You know,
yeah.
Woody Allen was caught. How many times was he caught? You know, with
yes. And he ended up marrying her, didn't he? Marry her
yeah.
ultimately, anyway.
No, he was caught with a child.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That was what's her name?
Mia Farrow. But the one they adopted, I thought he married. Yeah. Didn't he? He married her. He's married to her.
No kidding. He ended up.
He's married to her.
That's one way of keeping her quiet, huh?
That's exactly right.
All righty. We're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673.
Now, can I say one thing just kind of to people out there? We had a lot of some new callers, and thank you very much for calling in. And we will be getting out to them a sample of the newsletter. So, and I know they haven't gotten it yet.
All right. Well, yeah, folks, the newsletter, let me tell you, is very, very important. And you can do a couple things. You can go up to our website, wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Or you can just write us at wrwl. 14781. That's 14781 Sperry. That's Sperry Road, and that's Newberry. Newbury. That's Newbury, Ohio. 44065. And just request a newsletter, and it doesn't cost you anything. We'll send it right to you. We'll be back right after this with more.
Yes. Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was and he wasn't and he is and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did because he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he calls it. For the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Aliyabow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
And you can take that to the bank, my friend. There ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet, and that's why we have such a future, those of us that know the Lord. And let's go, speaking of that, we have Pastor Hal. Pastor Hal's in the air. Hey, Hal.
Hey, man, how you doing?
We're doing okay. How are you?
Very good. Down here in Pensacola, enjoying the sunshine.
All right. Do they know you're in Florida?
Yes. Yeah, I'm staying at my daughter's house right now.
All righty. There you go.
Way to rub it in, Pastor Hal.
Went to them good barbecue restaurants down here, I'll tell you, the delicious.
Well, if anybody would know that, it'd be you. I can tell you that. All righty.
Yeah.
Did you call in to give the invitation tonight?
Yes, sir, if you'd like me to.
Well, hang in there. We'll get to it. We're a little bit early, okay. So let's go out to Cuyahoga Falls with Carl. Hey, Carl.
Yes, hello.
Hello, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call here, Pastor Sanders. I know tonight you've been talking about controlling our lives, and I want to know if you're aware of a survey. This is from the Census Bureau. It's called the American Community Survey.
No, tell me about it.
Okay. Well, I feel like I'm being singled out on this. So they do that at random. They can just take people. Okay. It has questions on there involving a couple of them. The first ones are about race and, you know, your ancestry. I can understand that. But then it starts asking about, you know, where you were born and where you live. Do you live in a house or apartment or whatever? And it starts asking about, do you have a mental condition? How far do you drive from work to home? And it starts, you know, about things like that. And you get payments like from the VA and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is kind of a...
Now, do these people come to you in person or is it by telephone? How do they contact you?
Okay, they send that out in the mail. It's like about a 40-page catalog.
Wow.
And they gave me like 2 weeks to answer it. And then it said, you know, if you don't answer it by phone or by on the Internet and send your report back in, that you probably will get a visit from somebody from the census.
That would be okay with me. When they would come, I would invite them in and say, now, we'll do this, but you go first. And I'll ask them the questions. I've actually done that with some people, okay, when they wanted this information, when that information they didn't need, okay?
So, yeah, I feel a lot of these questions are private, you know, and it's supposed to be a community survey, but most of these questions are directed toward me or my family.
Well, tell us, what is it that you don't want them to know?
Well, you know, everything's personal.
I know.
Other than my name and my phone number, you know, my address. It was sent out to my address. It wasn't sent out to me.
I'm only kidding you there, Carl.
Yes.
You know, it's like
I feel they have all this information someplace. You know.
Oh, they're just trying to see if you're going to lie to them, huh?
I guess, yeah. And it says there's, you know, you can be penalized.
Well, you know what? You can expect it to get worse and worse as we get closer to the Lord's return. But resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. So Bible tells you to hang in there and resist tyranny even unto blood.
Okay. Well, we're hanging in there here.
All righty. Well,
thank you for your time.
God bless, my friend. Okay. Let's go out there to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, hi. Ask Randy and you guys a question about Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 22 to 25.
Randy can't answer questions.
I just find that interesting because Jeremiah is saying, correct me. That's not something you see too much as a suggestion for personal prayer. But then he's seems to have an imprecatory prayer, pour out your wrath. But, you know, is he saying, don't make sure it doesn't hit me or whatever, so that that I'm nothing? So it seems to be like two directions he's going with that prayer.
Well, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Weeping prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So did you say Jeremiah 22, 25?
Chapter 10, verses 22 to 25.
10.
Chapter 10, okay. Verses
20 to 25,
okay. So you see, well, let's start in verse 19. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly this is grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all of my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me. There is none note to strength worth my tent anymore. He's talking about his tabernacle and tent. That's his body. He's referring to his physical being. Mm. For the pastors have become brutish, and they have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the brute has come, and a great commotion of the north country is to make the cities of Judah desolate and den of dragons. Lord, I know the way of men is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct the steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in mine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out our fury upon the heathen, that know not thee, and upon the families that call not on the name, for they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made him habited. So he's simply making the point that what they've done to the nation of Israel, the enemies, and he's asking God for justice. But it's an interesting thing because he refers to the pastors there have become brutish. They've apostatized. It's like what we have so many today. You know, I would say, I mean, if you had asked me, I would say maybe 10% of those in the pulpit today are saved.
Wow.
You see, because if the pastors were saved, the Bible says that the righteous are bold as lions. You would have, these pastors would be bold, and they would be out there. And I can tell you, the government would not be so corrupt if the pastors were bold today. And the people would follow them, but they become like dumb dogs, too afraid to bark, so many. But we want to praise God for the handful the remnant that he's kept.
Now, when he's saying, correct me,
That word there means judge. That
judgment.
That word in the Hebrew means to judge me. In other words, God. Okay. He knows that God's looking upon his heart. He knows that God knows what he's thinking, where his heart's at.
Okay, so he's saying that he doesn't include himself in that group.
No, he's making sure that he's. That he is not out of step with God, that he is not doing that, that he is not one of those. He's saying, Lord, you know, and tell me, am I right or wrong? You judge me, like David used to do all the time.
Okay. In other words, help me to make sure I'm not one of he sees their errors, but he's as a precaution. That's like a precautionary prayer.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I have to move on, but the thing's okay. Cliff. Let's go to Timothy. Timothy, you're in the air.
Good evening, gentlemen and lady.
Oh, good evening. How you doing?
I'm maintaining because, like we always say, Pastor Ernie reiterates almost every night, God is on the throne, and we are to be anxious for nothing, but in all prayer and supplication, make our requests known to the Lord. And, you know, today's a sad day for the country. But it doesn't surprise God. Man makes plans, God laughs.
Amen.
And I'm laughing along with him because I know in the end we win. And if he started something in Donald Trump, and I believe when Mike Dunbar in New Hampshire back in 1987, when he had him, he must have either had an epiphany or God started to work in him. And he decided he had enough of the kooks on the left, and he knew all about them, and he decided to go in a different direction. And if he truly, it's only between him and God, if he truly gave his heart to the Lord, and if so, I pray for his sanctification every day, along with my own and everybody else that I know and love. And I wanted to, along with my imprecatory prayers that I pray every day for those that are putting a middle finger up to the Lord, is that I want to bless the Trump family. That includes all his legal counsel and everybody else that's putting their time and resources and talents into vindicating and reckoning. There's going to be a reckoning on November 5th of next year, and there's going to be a major reckoning and hopefully a revival of sorts come January 20th, 2025. God willing, I'm here. if the Lord should tarry on the rapture. And if he doesn't, then I'll be in glory. And if he tarries and we're still here and we're fighting a good fight, I'm going to tell everybody the truth every day. I'm so tired of the lies. I'm so fed up of watching this stuff and listening to this stuff every day. I read the truth every day, and yet I go out my door, and it's nothing but the antithesis of that. It's a daunting task to try to turn people around. I can bring the water to people, but I can't make them drink it. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do that.
Well, you know what Psalm 105:15 says? It says, "Touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed."
I know. I love that one. I love that one. And I believe that Donald Trump is an anointed. I think it says in Philippians about, isn't that the one where I'm going to complete the work I started in you? 4:6?
Right. So, believe me, all of these, the deep state, this Jack Smith, this very, very corrupt, all these dirty cops, it's going to come back on them. It's going to come back on all of them. So,
they're going to get punked. They're going to get punked. They're going to be JC'd someday.
Yep.
It's going to be a beautiful thing to partake in. He is the Lord, and he has dominion over this this earth. It is his and the fullness thereof, and he says that he gave, in his word, he gave us dominion over the earth, and everything in the earth.
Amen.
The bi-coastal elites think that their moral superiority gives them the right to have dominion or control over us and everything else in it. They're misinterpreting. They're biblically illiterate, and they have no sovereignty. The righteous have the sovereignty. The unrighteous have no sovereignty.
You're right. And see, they don't understand the Word of God, and they don't care to understand the Word of God.
They will.
Yeah.
They will one day when it's every knee, every tongue.
They're going to be believers someday, you know. That's a fact. There'll be believers someday.
Whether it's rude or otherwise, they're going to believe nonetheless.
Absolutely. So, anyhow.
I say we pray a prayer tonight for Donald Trump. He's handling this with class and dignity. And like you said last night, I was on the phone, and then the phone dropped. And when you went to come back and say the prayer, I tried to call back in, but he wasn't able to sneak me in at the end. But I wanted to say that we should pray for him, that God continues to keep him strong in mind, body, and spirit, and puts a hedge of protection around him and his loved ones, and continue to give him strength, provide him divine finances in the area of finances, because if he's standing on truth, then, you know, the Lord fights the battle. So I believe that as long as we can give Donald Trump confidence to keep fighting the fight, that he is a fighter, and that's exactly why I voted for him, and that's why I'll vote for him again.
All right, very good. All right, thanks, Timothy. How much time do I have there? Okay, you got 5 minutes, Hal, 5 minutes to give an invitation.
Okay, well, you know, one thing's for sure, you know, the Lord's coming back again soon, and this old world is turning into a cesspool under this woke government, illegitimate woke government, but, you know, as things get worse on the outside, you know, we know with Jesus coming back, we have glory to look forward to. And if you want to know how to get to heaven, you go to the source. You go to God. You go to God's word. You don't listen to what a bunch of religious leaders tell you, where they tell you you got to do some kind of works to get there. Jesus did all the work for us on the cross. In other words, God hates sin, and he can't let sin come into heaven. And no matter how much he loves us, he can't let our sins come into heaven, or heaven wouldn't be heaven very long. So the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The only thing that can wash away our sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 1:7. What God allowed Jesus to do when Jesus died on that cross was to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. That righteous payment had to be paid, either by us paying for it for all eternity in hell, or accepting the payment Jesus paid in our place on that cross of Calvary. And when Jesus died and shed his blood, he said, "It is finished," which means all the work necessary for our redemption has been done. What God, in effect, did was allow Jesus to transfer your guilt and your sins upon his son, Jesus. So So when Jesus died on that cross, went through all that pain and suffering untold, he was allowing, being allowed to pay the payment so you could go free and have eternity in heaven with him. If you come to the cross and by faith ask Jesus to come into your heart with a repentant heart. Now, repentance is very important. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And repentance is admitting something to God he knows already anyway. That without Jesus Christ in our hearts, we're lost and on our road to hell. Our sins are, that's exactly where our sins are going to take us. But when you admit to God that you're a sinner and you're sorry about the fact you're a sinner, and you come to Jesus for his cleansing and salvation, he'll give it to you, because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call means to pray. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us it's a free gift. Jesus did all the work necessary for us to go to heaven. Now, whether you and I go to heaven depends on what we do with that finished payment. You can, by faith, receive Jesus in your heart, pray and ask him to come in, and he will. Or you can try and get there some other way, but all those other ways are just dead-end streets. You could be a member of every church in town, be the best Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, or whatever that ever lived, and still one sin to keep you out of heaven. But you could be the worst sinner there ever was and come to Calvary, sorry about your sins, and Jesus will come into your heart and cleanse you, make you cleaner than a brand-new baby, and make you a new creature in Christ, and nobody can ever take that away from you. Now, folks, if you want Jesus to be your Savior, if you want to know you're going to heaven, if you want to do it God's way instead of what man says, then come to Jesus tonight. God hears me talking to you right now. God knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now, and he would know if you opened up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. And that's why Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, or in other words, hear his word, and open the door, I will come in. So right now, Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of your heart, and he's convicting you of your sins. You know you're a sinner. You don't need nobody to convince you of it. But if you're repenting of your sins, if you're sorry about the fact you're a sinner, and ask Jesus to come in, he'll do it right now. So we can say a simple prayer together. I'd be glad to lead you, although you don't need nobody to lead you. But if it would help you out, we could say a simple prayer together, and I'll lead you a few words at a time. But even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and God, because only you can open up the door of your heart and let Jesus come in. And when you do that, God's Holy Spirit comes in too, and he seals you into the body of Christ and makes you a new creature.
1 minute.
The blood of Christ will wash away all your sins, and you'll become a new creature in Jesus, and he'll give you eternal life. So let's pray. Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I believe that you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And Lord Jesus, I hear and right now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul. I trust you and you only for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, 1 John 5:13 says, if these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, and that believe on that personally receive, that you may know you have eternal life. Not think it, wish it, or hope for it, but know it. How do you know? Because God made you that promise, and he cannot lie. Right, Pastor?
Absolutely. You can take that to the bank. God has. This is why we are so confident, you know, that there we have no doubt, because he says we may know, and God will always honor your commitment. He's the only one that we can always trust that he will never, ever betray us, huh? All righty. We're at that point that we get to every night at this time, and what we always do is we say, good night.
Okay.
And then, very, very important, we say, God bless. And then we say, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.